due to the volume of announcements this morning, we're going to go ahead and get an early start on it. And hopefully we'll have time to get into God's Word and do some other things. But we do have quite a few things to cover with you this morning. And I would like to introduce our own Bob the Builder to start things off this morning. So give a big hand for our own Robert Mullins.
Oh, good morning. Well, I was at the building, the study center this morning, walking around, and, you know, it's finally starting to sink in that it's actually going to happen. So, man, what a drag, huh? Oh, boy, it's such a great place. Remember, next week, we're not meeting here, okay? So if one thing I thought I'd mention is if there's been anybody that's been a part of your fellowship that hasn't been around for a while and you might want to call them, the last thing we want is for people to show up here next Sunday at 10:30 instead of at the Scriptural Study Center. Now, I talked to, I think it's Amy and Randy. Somebody's going to have a set of directions here on the door for next Sunday. In case that happens, people will know that we're not meeting here, okay? If you need directions, you can look on our website. It's www.ssgco.org. Okay, there'll be Eric put directions on there. There's a nice map. You can look it up there. Jackie's got hard copies of the map on the back table. And I want to make sure that if there's any questions today that you get with someone so you know exactly how to get there if you haven't been there before. Also, I think Brian McCaw is going to have some signs up on the, you know, on the side of the road, I think by the Wyandotte Winery, or one side of the road, you'll have a little arrow there pointing. That's very easy to get to. Also, I would encourage you to leave a little extra time next week. This, you know, we've got this parking lot laid out. It's never been used before. So, you know, allow enough time. You can get there early. You know, if you want to get there at 10, that'd be great. But allow yourself enough time if you're unfamiliar with the how of getting there. You know, there's no need to rush. Just take extra time to do that. Also, for you smokers out there, we would like to continue what we're doing here, and that is, you know, that there's no smoking in the front of the building. There's a wonderful balcony out around the other entrance of the building that we're going to have that activity take place at, okay? So if you're not familiar with that, there's going to be plenty of people to ask where that is. Also, I'd like to announce that on Monday will be our first meeting. There will be the leaders' meeting. It'll be at 7:30 in the cafe at the Scriptural Study Center. Also, that's really about all of my announcements, except that, you know, I was thinking this morning that we've met here since, what is it, April of 99? It's something like 330 fellowships plus that we've been here, and this is the last time that we're going to meet here. So it's really wonderful. I'm very thankful that we've had this place, and we're thankful for the staff that's taken care of us. And right now I'd like to have Jackie come up for a minute and say a few words about the folks that have taken care of us here at this building. You know, it's just, we've been very blessed to be here, and we're very thankful. So thank you very much. See you next week.
Well, we've been here, as Robert was saying, 330 plus times, and it's been just a wonderful experience being here. And as you know, we've gone through things like Hobbit land on the stage, and you know, we've had stages built all the way out, and we've gone through changes with Heritage where they've gone from carpeting in this room to tile, and there have been some times that they've needed to ask us to change what we've done. One time they could not accommodate us in this building because of flooring that they were laying down, and I was so blessed, as I've always been blessed with the things that they've done. Dan Hamilton, who's the head of the maintenance crew here, made all the arrangements before he told me we couldn't be here for us to meet at North High School. Do you remember that one time we met at North? And he figured out where the children's fellowships would be and where people could go to the bathroom if they were in the children. I mean, just so much heart, and that's been typical of the way that we have been treated here, and we have been so truly blessed to be here. Right now, I would like to ask Dave Humes, who is the janitor on staff today, our maintenance person on staff. yeah. Thank you, Dave. I was talking to Dan Hamilton yesterday on the phone, and he said, Dave sat him down and said, you know, Dan, I was here when they had their first meeting. It's only proper I be here when they have their last one. So we're very thankful to have Dave here today representing their whole crew. Mostly Dave and Dan have been the workhorses here. Just there, you think we come in early? They are here way before we are. They are here way after we are. They close up the building. They open the building. Any little thing that we've needed, they've always been just right there to help us. And it's been a true blessing. And we have a card that we would like to say thank you to your whole staff, Dave. And if you would share that with them, thank you so much. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
I might add that there have been times that both Dave and Dan have sat me down after a fellowship and told me what was being taught. So I know that they've been blessed by the word that's been shared here too. So we thank you.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Tom, for inviting me to teach this morning. I got a little weepy back there thinking about this place. I did. You know, I'm not going to miss the blue wall. I'm not going to miss Hillary Duff or that clown over there. But, and then I got to thinking about why was I weepy? And I thought, because I'm just blessed. I'm just so thankful to have spent 6 years in here with you guys. And that's not changing. That's going with us. We are going as a one body down to this new building. And I just can't imagine what God's got in store for us over the next few years. And I noticed in the announcements that Mike said the leaders' meeting is at the study center and choir practice is at the study center. And everything he announced was at the study center. You know, it's not at this building and that house. And it's we all get to go to one place and work together. I mean, I am so excited about it. What a wonderful place. And I've had the privilege of working in there a little bit recently, getting some things set up and watching all the little teams of people pushing brooms and planting trees and running backhoes and lifts up and down that sometimes work and sometimes don't. And it's just been wonderful to watch everybody work together. It's been, in some sense, I know you guys on the committee have had your days, you've had your pressures, but for the rest of us, it's been smooth and easy, and it's been wonderful, and we're in. You know, even our certifications that we got this week, there were miracles in those. Things happened that could have been difficult, and they weren't. They got done. So I just think God's hand is on us, and I know it is, and He's blessing us, and we're going to have a great time down there. But the thing that blessed me was to think about you and how I think the one thing that we have built here as a body is the body. You know, the one thing we have done is to guard that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace here. We've learned how to work together. We've learned how to love each other. We've learned what the one body is. I think when Tom first suggested that we start meeting as a whole group like this, we had been meeting in Tom's house in one small group, and then there were a few other fellowships around town, and I didn't understand the fullness of it at first. And you know, why do you want us to get together every Sunday as a whole body? But over the last 6 years, I've learned why. Because we've learned how to work together as a one body. We've learned what the Bible means when it says that we are part of one body. And it's only strengthened our home fellowships. My home fellowship is I'm just in love with the fellowship in my home. I'm just in love with the people that come there every Wednesday night and get into the Word with me. And I see you here on Sunday, and you've got this special place in my heart. So it's a privilege, and I'm real thankful for it, and I'm looking forward to it very much. We're going to have a great Sunday next week. We're going to sing loud. I think the singing's going to sound really good in there. We're going to sing really loud next week. In my fellowship a couple weeks ago, Kim and I were thinking about what we wanted to do this year with our fellowship, and like I said, we've gotten to know each other pretty well, and we're just our own nice little body of believers. And I was thinking, what do I want to do this year? And I thought, well, you know what? I want to know what the people in my fellowship, if they have any questions or desires or anything that they've had for perhaps years that they have not gotten answered, that they've not gotten information on yet, let's see if we can work some of that stuff together. So I sent them all around the house with their Bibles for about 30 minutes. I gave them each a card about this size. And I said, write down a question or two that you've had or something that's on your heart that you'd like to learn more about. And if we as a fellowship can get you answers for that this year, then we'll work on that. And it blew my mind, the questions that came back. You know, I thought I'd get a question about, you know, I'd like to learn more about the love of God, or I'd like to learn more about, you know, some big vague thing. But gosh, I got questions that were deep and insightful, and things that people are thinking about, things that are stirring in people's hearts. But there were some common themes through some of them, which really blessed me, and which also helped me understand what I needed to do with my fellowship this year. And one of those common themes I saw, several people had questions like this. I want to learn about the different positions in the body of Christ. Somebody else asked, I want to learn more about the ministries in the body of Christ. I want more teaching on Jesus Christ as the Lord and the head of the body, and more teaching on the one body, especially in regards to individual believers' ministries operating and in service. And then we got together afterwards and talked about that, and that seemed to be something that people have a desire to understand more. You know, where do I fit into this thing? We know we're part of a body. We understand the body of Christ to some degree. We see it in operation here. But I think it's an honest and really a wonderful question that people have when they ask, where do I fit in this thing? What is it I'm supposed to do? And I think there's ways to get that answered. I think there's ways to understand that. And I was thinking about, you know, what could I offer this group as we move from this building to the next building, and this, I guess, the next administration for our fellowship here. What could I offer this morning that would help in this transition? And I think this would be a good subject to study this morning, the one body and how we work together and how we fit into this thing, because we're going to have different responsibilities perhaps as we move. Some of us are going to rise up to handle things that we haven't handled before. I think we're going to see some growth. You know, that's where we've seen growth in here. You know, how many people have heard the Word of God rightly divided in this word or in this room for the first time? There's been quite a few of them. Yep, got some hands up. We're going to see some of that. And our responsibilities as a body of Christ are going to develop and grow and increase. And we're going to see things more clearly. And we have to learn how to work together as a body even greater than we do now. We have to learn how to guard that unity of the Spirit. So let's take a look at that this morning, the one body of Christ. We'll start in Ephesians 5. There's a section of Scripture in Ephesians 5 that oftentimes when we read this, it's dealing with a marriage between a man and a woman. And I think oftentimes, because it's one of the few places in God's Word that specifically addresses that subject, that we just see the marriage relationship in it, and we don't realize the real dual purpose of this section of Scripture, and that God has another purpose for putting this in here, and He's got some information that is very important to us. In Ephesians 5, in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the respect of God. You know, that's what we do in the body of Christ. We submit ourselves one to another. You know, if Eric is responsible for a certain thing that's going on in the body of Christ, I am responsible to submit myself to him. If I'm responsible for another area of something that's being done in the body of Christ, you're responsible to submit yourself to me. We submit ourselves to each other in our ministries. We're all equal in this. We all have the Spirit of God in us. We all have nine manifestations in us. But as a body, there are different times when people do different functions, different ministries, different responsibilities, and we are responsible to submit ourselves to each other. And that's part of the reason why this fellowship works so well, because we've learned some of those things. We've learned how to step out of the way when somebody else is working. And it strengthens the body, because then people's own abilities and own ministries then can flourish. We're not all trying to be at the top of the heap at the same time. Some of us have also learned that we can't control that a whole heap by ourselves. None of us are capable of doing that. It takes an entire body to do it. So we submit ourselves one to another. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto the Lord, or unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That word Savior means one who makes whole. And it's specifically referring to the body at this point. We know that Jesus Christ is our Savior as an individual believer. We know that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and that God saved us from that. But in this context, it's talking about the body, and it's talking about making that body whole, making that body healthy. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word by is the word in the word of God. He washed the body in the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And that little phrase there, this is a great mystery, in the interlinear it just says, great is this mystery. And this is speaking about the great mystery. The great mystery. The part of the great mystery is the one body. But if you look at the number of things that are outlined here that Jesus Christ does for his body, it's an incredible number of things. He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. He makes the body whole. He makes the body healthy. The church is subject unto Christ, which means that Christ has a position of superiority or supremacy over the church. It says that Christ loves the church. It says that Christ gave himself for the church. It says that Christ sanctifies and cleanses the church in the word. Christ presents the church to himself, a glorious church, with no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing. He presents it holy, without blame, or without blemish. Holy, without blemish. Boy, that's a word. The word holy. If you want a great word study sometime, just work the word holy. You know, you'll probably stop saying things like holy cow and holy Toledo and things like that if you really do a serious study on the word holy. The Word of God says that we are holy as a body of Christ. We are holy. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are blameless. We are harmless. It says that Christ nourishes the church. He cherishes the church. For we are members of his body. And this is a great mystery. Sounds like Jesus Christ loves us. Kind of the understatement. Look in chapter 4. Chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And what is the vocation wherewith you are called? It's chapters 1, 2, and 3, right? Chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians tell us what God did for us, what he accomplished in us. And they conclude, chapter 3 is a parenthesis, so you could technically go right from verse 1 back to the last verse of chapter 2, which is kind of a summary or a conclusion of the whole thing in 1, 2, and 3. And that is that in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, our vocation is to be a habitation of God. And as you know from what Tom's taught us over the years, the book of Ephesians is a we book. As a matter of fact, all the church epistles are we books. You know, they're all addressed to us as a body of Christ, and that's a great thing to remember. Ephesians is addressed to us as a body. And we as a body are a habitation of God. That's a pretty significant thing. In the Old Testament, God's habitation was at best the Holy of Holies inside of a temporary temple. And even then it says that he could not be held in buildings made with hands. So that was just a symbol. God had no dwelling place, no certain dwelling place in the Old Testament. And yet, this new thing comes along, this body of Christ, and guess where God lives? He lives in us. We are his habitation. So when you get to chapter 4 and it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What is that vocation? It's to be God's habitation. And it's a we book, so it deals with us as a body. We are God's habitation. Everything that God wanted from before the foundations of the world, He placed in you and me, and we're in this thing together. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that word keep just means to watch or to keep your eyes on. That unity is something that God has established when He put that body of Christ together, but we have a responsibility in there because we can let it be destroyed, and we can destroy it. We have a responsibility in there, and our responsibility is to watch it, to keep it, to guard it. You know, when I go shopping with my wife, sometimes she'll leave her purse in the shopping cart, and she walks off to find some whole wheat Cheetos, and she says, keep your eye on my purse. And so I'm standing in the aisle staring at her purse while she's gone for 10 minutes, and that lasts about once, and then I say, take your purse with you, because I want to go rooting around too. And you ever wonder when you leave your shopping cart in the aisle and you go off somewhere for 10 minutes for looking for something, if somebody sticks things in there? And you get home and you find out where did that came from, or there's something missing. Somebody walks by, there's a nice set of ribs there. I've had that happen to me. Diddy, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you? I've never found anything in a shopping cart that I didn't know was supposed to be there. But we're supposed to keep our eyes on this unity. We're supposed to guard it. Endeavoring to keep or to watch, to keep an eye on the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who's got an NIV? Lisa, come up here a second. Read 11 and 12 in the NIV. You read it into my microphone.
Oh, okay. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me keep on going.
Yeah, read the next one.
Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Cool. What are those ministries for? Now, Tom has taught this before, that those are the starting ministries. Those are the ones that are put into place to get the whole body moving so that the ministries within the body then can function. It's exactly what the NIV says. Now, what's the responsibility of those five ministries? To get us started as a body of believers. But they don't stop there. You know, a number of years ago, we didn't understand that. We thought that those five ministries were it. We were responsible for everything that happened in the body. But you know what? There's no ministry in the body that's capable of doing everything. And that is wonderful. So these ministries are placed in the body to get everybody else ready to move, everybody else ready to do the work of the ministry. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You want to know what the responsibilities for all the ministries are? Primarily, it's to bring unity in the body of Christ. That's what it says. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the right way of believing, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. God put the unity there when He pulled us into this body of Christ. We have a responsibility to watch it, to guard it, to keep it, to nourish each other, to build each other, to teach each other, so that unity can become reality in our daily lives. And we've had some of that here over the last 6 years. We've seen that develop here. And now we've got this wonderful privilege to take this body of Christ, our local fellowship here, and move it down to this new building and just do whatever God's got in store for us. And to watch it grow. And to watch people get healed. And to watch people come in there that have never heard God's word, hear God's word for the first time and get healed and blessed. And we're all part of that. We have a position in that, every one of us. And if we say we don't, if we think we don't, we're lying. Because it says, we'll read this in a minute, God set us in the body. He placed every one of us in the body. It's not just up to me. It's not just up to you. It's up to you and you and you and you. Every one of us is a part of this thing. And when we think that we aren't, or we think that we're just an entity unto ourselves and we don't involve ourselves in the body of Christ, somebody gets cheated. First of all, we do. But secondly, you get cheated because you're not part of my life. Because you're not sitting next to me in a fellowship studying God's word and then ready to share what you learned afterwards with me. That's the greatness of the body of Christ. We're supposed to do this thing together. It's a we thing. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12. I have learned to consider it a great privilege and honor to be in this body of Christ with you. And I've learned that my life depends on you. And that my spiritual well-being depends on you. And I've learned that your ministries and your lives are essential. In chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word gifts is in italics, which means it was not in the Stephen's text that this was translated from. And the word spiritual is that Greek word pneumatikos, which just means spiritual matters, spiritual things, things of the spirit. This phrase, I would not have you ignorant, comes up several times in the church epistles. I think it comes up 7 times. And every time it comes up, it's like a red flag. Whenever you see this, this would be a great study for you sometime. Whenever this phrase comes up, it's a real attention getter. It's look at this, because this is really important. And this is one of those sections. I would not have you ignorant. This is something that God does not want us to be ignorant of. And it's regarding spiritual matters. How cool is that? That God would not want us to be ignorant of spiritual matters. That they're not these vague things that are floating out in the universe somewhere. That they're vague concepts or vague maybe somethings that we'll understand somewhere down the line. But he wants us to understand spiritual matters. And the spiritual matters that he's going to get into here in this chapter are spiritual matters regarding the church, regarding how we work together as a one body. He wants us to be knowledgeable of these things. He's going to explain some things about ministries. He's going to explain some things about these parts of the body of Christ and how they work together. And he doesn't want us to be ignorant of it. He wants us to know where we fit into this. So it's a great question to have. Now, where do I fit in? What's my job? What's my responsibility? It's a great question to have. It's even greater when you get it answered. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols even as you were led. What's a dumb idol? Let's look at that. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. So if as idols, a little statue that they would have somewhere in their house to represent whatever God they were praying to at the moment. And what Psalms is saying is that they're worthless. There's no life in them. They got eyes, they can't see, they got ears, they can't hear, they got feet, they can't walk, they can't talk. That's why they're called dumb idols. There's no power in them. You know that, back to Corinthians 12, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In verse 4, that word gifts is that word charismata, which are gifts of God's grace. We just read about some of them. You know, those ministries that were placed, that were starting ministries in the body of Christ. In verse 5, the administrations, that the word for that is the word ministry. You'll hear Paul talk about his ministry at several places in the Word, and it's the same word. It's a ministry in the body of Christ. You know, we talk about how we all have ministries in the body of Christ, which is somewhat of a new concept to some of us. But biblically, it's accurate. We all have responsibilities. If you prefer the word function, which I don't now, but that sort of explains it too. It's responsibilities we have in the body. Ministry is a better word for my brain, because in my mind it involves service and nourishing and cherishing and all those things we read about. And we have those responsibilities. Some of us, each of us has a ministry in the body of Christ. And there are diversities of operations. The word operations means energizings. What God, through the Apostle Paul, is setting up here in the first part of this chapter is the differences between the individual parts or members of the body of Christ. He said there are differences between us when it comes to service, when it comes to our responsibilities within the body. But then he goes into this section in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. He takes a little sidestep here. He starts off by saying, here's the differences, and he's going to deal with the differences more in a few scriptures, but I'm going to take a sidestep and say, just so you understand, every man has the manifestation of Spirit. And then he lists them, all nine manifestations. And he explains how that each man has the privilege of operating those manifestations. That we all have in common. We all have the new birth in common. We all have the nine manifestations in common. And he's setting that straight so that they understand, okay, there's differences in the bodies. I'm going to explain these differences in the bodies. Here's one thing we all got the same. And he goes through and explains those in 7 through 11. But in verse 12, we come back to this theme of the one body and how we're individual members and individual parts in this one body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And that's a real comfort. You know, it's not my responsibility to figure out what my ministry is. And it's not my responsibility, or it's inaccurate for me to think that just some senses ability I have is my ministry either. That's another thing I think we get tripped up in sometimes. You know, I have an ability in music. Is being a musician a ministry in the body? I don't think so. I think my ministry in the body can come through me playing music for you at times. But I don't think that's my ministry. I think the ministries are all spiritual. Because you know why? Because I learned how to be a musician before I learned God's Word. I had that ability. I had some experience with that. I knew how to motivate people with music. I knew how to get to people emotionally with music. Before I learned any of this, before I learned anything about God. And then for me to step into the body of Christ and say, okay, because I've got this ability, therefore that must be my ministry. I think that's so limiting. And I think it can cause a lot of trouble because ministries are spiritual. And who put you in the body? God did. Now, I'm not saying that if you have some ability like that, that that cannot be a blessing to God's people in the right, with the right attitude and the right heart and the right motivation. Those abilities can all be a great blessing. Where would we be without Robert and his knowledge of construction and engineering? You know, we would probably be another year down the road before we had a building. You know, where would we be without Jackie's understanding of setting up a room? You know, where would we be without Darlene's learned experience as a designer? You know, she does that as a living. She understands how to design buildings and put nice things on the walls and colors and matching and all. She knows that stuff. So those abilities are wonderful. You know, the Apostle Paul had abilities like that. He knew how to make things and support himself. He had certain abilities. But he was an apostle first. He didn't first say, I'm a saddle maker. He said, I'm an apostle first. He may have had a lot of tremendous abilities. He probably had the ability to speak. Ooh, that's a good one. The ability to teach. That's a learned ability. I know that one of the gift ministries in the body of Christ is a teacher. But basically, anybody can learn how to teach and teach well. That's public speaking. That's something in the senses realm. You can learn how to speak accurately, but that does not necessarily mean you have the ministry of a teacher. I've heard people before that you know, they're just incredible abilities to teach, and you think they got to have the ministry of the teacher, and you find out they don't have the ministry of a teacher. They just learn how to do it. They've learned how to be very effective at it, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But these ministries are all spiritual. These are things that God has placed. These are positions that God has put us into. And we have to look at it from a spiritual perspective first and foremost. Otherwise, we get bent out of shape on talent and abilities. And some of us have been there before. Some of us have put the talents and the abilities over the spiritual matters and hurt ourselves tremendously. As a body of Christ, we want to do what God wants done on a spiritual level. And if the talents and abilities and background and education and all those things can contribute to that, that's wonderful. But keep it in the right perspective, in the right order. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Who's Lisa, I need to borrow you again. Read this section 12 through... Okay. Why don't you take it through... Take it through 23, 12 through 23 in NIV.
Okay. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the whole body be? Where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty.
Isn't that cool? So you can't say, I'm not the ear, therefore, I'm not of the body. And you can't say, I'm not the eye, and I'm therefore not of the body. Because God placed you in the body. You have a position in this thing. If you don't understand what your position is yet, that's okay. You got time. Life isn't over yet. But you can't say you're not part of the body of Christ. You're not an island. You need us. We need each other. Verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Boy, what a comfort there is in that. So how do you know what your position in the body of Christ is? Well, who put you there? Whose responsibility is it primarily to teach you where you fit into the body of Christ? The one that put you there. How's he going to do that? I think one place to start is to understand, first of all, what the body of Christ is. You need to work this stuff. You need to spend time in here and understand, first of all, that there is a body, and believe that there is a body, and believe that we're working together as a unit. You know, if you wanted to be a football player and you didn't know what a football team was, you'd have some pretty strange practices, I think. So it doesn't hurt to first understand what it is you want to be a part of. If you wanted to be a soldier, but you didn't know what an army was, just think about basic training after the first week. If you didn't know what the end result was to be part of an army, and you didn't know what an army was. So it's a great study to understand how the body of Christ works, and understand that God placed us in this body, and understand that it's the body of Christ, that it's set up to be his body. That's how he is manifested in this world today. So understanding the body of Christ is a starting point, and then specifically, he's just got to tell you. He's got to work it in you to show you what it is, and he can do that a number of ways. He can do it through his word. He can do it by revelation. You know, one of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, he can show you where you fit into the body of Christ. But there's another aspect to this, which I think we overlook sometimes, and that is the body of Christ. He can work through the body of Christ. You know, I'll use myself as an example. I'm teaching God's word today. How did I wind up here teaching God's word today? I put a suit and tie on, I walked in, I said, Tom, get out of the way, I'm coming up front. I didn't. Tom asked me, he said, would you teach God's word this Sunday? So my responsibility this Sunday is to teach God's word. How did I know to do that? Because Tom asked me. Another example, in my fellowship in my house, one of the questions that comes up on our little cards is, I want to learn more about healing. There were about four or five questions about healing. That's not a long suit for me. I believe in healing. I have been healed. I've healed people before. It's still not a long suit for me, for whatever reason. It's not something that I would call... It's not something I have mastered in my walk, and for whatever reason. There are people in our fellowship that understand it more than I do. There are people that have worked it more in God's Word. There are people that are more proficient with it. My brother's one of those. He spent time working that. He's had some tremendous results, especially recently. I went to Brian. I said, Brian, we've got people in my fellowship that want to learn about healing. Get your notes out. You're coming over. So I have no doubt that when he comes to my house, he will know that his responsibility for that night is to teach God's people about healing. That his function has been made manifest, at least in that situation, on that night, that's what his responsibility will be, to teach people about healing. And I think that's just, we see it all the time in this group, where you're asked to do a specific thing, and maybe you think you can't do it. Maybe you think, I can't get up there and teach God's word on a Sunday morning. Well, what makes you so egotistical to think that you can't do this? If you're asked to. If God says to whoever's responsible that you need to get up there and teach God's word, or it's on your heart that you need to teach, and you talk to Tom or whoever, and he agrees with you, what makes you so special that you don't have this ability to get up and teach God's word if God wants you to do this? Now, maybe it's going to take a little work. Maybe it's going to take a little preparation. Maybe it's going to take a little confidence in God, a little time in God's word. But don't be so egotistical as to think you cannot contribute to this body in whatever God needs you to do. Because God's so much bigger than that. And if he placed you in the body, if he placed you in this body, then he will show you how to work. And he will give you the strength. And he will give you the power to do it. And my exhortation for all of us as we move out to this new building, and what a privilege this is. I am so excited. Goosebumps about just the fun of going into a building where we don't have to set up the sound system every week to do a meeting, or bring the choir in at 7 o'clock in the morning to make all the microphones work. And I can spend more time thinking about God and God's people than just the technical issues that we've had to deal with in here. And this has been wonderful. But my exhortation for us as a body is just to grow as a body and to continue to love each other and to continue to keep our eye on that unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. And you know what? There will be things that will happen and things that will develop that we just can't imagine. Because you know what? We've seen it in here. You've seen it in here for the last 6 years. It's only going to continue to grow. So my exhortation is just continue to learn these things about the body and figure it out where you fit. And if you're asked to do something, trust God. And you'll find out real fast what he wants you to do. And don't think you can't do it. Because we have a very, very big God. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in this building. And oh God, what a privilege it's been for these last years to just to be with each other and to learn more about this tremendous body that you've called us to, and to build some vision together and to build some unity together, and we're just so thankful that you've made this available to us all these years. And God, as we move forward into this new opportunity for our ministry here, we ask you to bless us and to keep us and to just continue to teach us the things that you want us to do so that your word can become manifest and that your son can be clear in people's minds and that you can be glorified. So Father, we ask you for your hand of blessing on this week and all the work that has to be done yet. All the details that are yet to be finalized for next weekend, and we ask you to just put your hedge of protection and your tremendous blessing around that building so that when we go in there, it's just a tremendous new chapter for our fellowship here in Central Ohio. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Well, we're going to close with number 41, In the Body of Christ. And I know you want to stand, so go ahead. Number 41. Thanks for coming, and if the Lord tarries, we'll see you at the Scriptural Study Center next Sunday, okay? God bless.